Anytime you ever hear someone speak, there are presuppositions that both the speaker and the audience have. And good communication will only take place when the people hearing understand and accept the presuppositions of the one who is speaking. That happens wherever you are, to whomever you listen. Sometimes, if you don't understand what is presupposed, you're lost. Well, this morning, I want to make sure none of us is lost. So let me give you three presuppositions that I have before we look at this parable. Number one, there is a creator of all of us, one who formed us in our mother's wombs, a creator to whom each of us will one day return. That is a presupposition that I have. Do you have it as well? I hope so, because you'll not understand what I'm about to say unless you accept that presupposition. Second, Jesus Christ is called the image of the invisible Creator. And by Him, that is Christ, all things are created. In other words, I am assuming that you believe that Jesus is God incarnate. That's what the Scripture teaches. He's the image of the invisible God. The word incarnate is a big theological word, so let me simplify it for you. If you ever go to the grocery store and you're looking for chili, sometimes you'll come across a can that says chili con carne. That means chili with meat. The incarnation is nothing but the invisible God, the creator of the universe, taking meat upon himself. Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." So it is Jesus who formed you in your mother's womb. It is Jesus who gave you life. He is the creator to whom you will one day return. Do you agree with that? That's the second presupposition. Third, if you and I, created by Jesus, are not living the way He intends, then we are wasting our lives. When I was a kid, I remember watching the lunar landing, and over the course of the next few years, the United States went back to the moon. And on the subsequent trips to the moon, the astronauts took a lunar mobile unit. Basically, it was a car that they could drive on the moon. Some of you are old enough to remember, others of you, this might be new information. On one of those trips, the lunar module, the lunar rover, the vehicle which they were driving, it broke down. Wouldn't move. NASA was in a panic. What do we do? Most of the missions depended upon the lunar rover. So, they decided they would make a phone call. Do you know who they called? The maker, the designer of the rover. And through a course of conversation, NASA was able to fix that machine because the maker understood what the machine was capable of doing and knew that if it broke down, what the problem was. So it is with Jesus, our Creator. If we are wasting our lives, if we're broken down and need fixed, then I would think we would go to the Creator to find out what the problem is and how to resolve it. Well, this morning, that is precisely what we're going to do. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And in Luke chapter 8, he tells a parable beginning in verse 16. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Verse 17. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Now let me pause right there before we go to verse 18 and make a comment. I've heard many teachers read verse 17 and try to say that what Jesus is saying is, if you ever sin in secret, if you ever do anything in the dark, if you do something nobody else knows about, be forewarned, there's coming a day when it will be brought to light. Now, that may or may not be true. The fact of the matter is, I know a lot of folks who go into death and their sins done in secret have never been revealed. And I know enough about the gospel that when those who know Christ are resurrected from the dead, their sins are not going to be brought up by God because Jesus paid for them at Calvary. So, what is often falsely taught about this verse may or may not be true. You just cannot base the teaching that your sins will one day be made known on this verse, because this verse, in context, is not teaching that. For example, last week we saw Jesus, in the text previous to this one, was explaining to his disciples that the Word of God is like a seed. And the sower, the preacher of the word, and he was the sower, casts it out, and it falls upon hard pan soil sometimes, hard-hearted people, and then good soil, and thorny soil, and rocky soil. You remember that parable? And basically Jesus, in explaining that parable of the sower, said to his disciples, I speak in parables because there are people who don't follow me that are in darkness. And they don't understand the truth. You do. You've been given the light. That's why I speak in parables, for you to know what I'm saying, but those who are in darkness will not. However, nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. In other words, that which the disciples knew, the truth, the seed, the Word of God, would not remain hidden forever in this world. God lit their lamp to shine in dark places that darkness might be expelled. This is why I'm always positive about the kingdom of God and the gospel. I know some of you look around and you think the United States is going to hell in a handbasket very, very quickly. What is happening in our world? I say to you, what is happening in our world is precisely what Jesus said would happen. The gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the United States, it may seem dark because we're in a period of darkness. But in China, did you know that there are more followers of Jesus today than there are people in the United States? Do you understand that in Africa, people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ by the droves? There's light being shined all around this world, though the United States may be in a period of darkness. Even the darkness in our country will not last for long, because wood that is stored and becomes dry, in time lights a great fire. Revival will come to America again. My point to you is, this verse is simply saying, if your lamp or candle has been lit by God, let your light shine, for it is the intention of God that the light of His truth expel darkness in this world. Verse 18. So, take care how you listen. Listen to what? Listen to what Jesus is saying. Listen to God's word. Take care how you listen. For whoever has to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Now, as Jesus is teaching this parable, his mother and his brothers come to him to see him, but they're unable to approach because of the great crowd. And so it was reported to Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they're standing outside, they're wanting to see you. And Jesus says in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. If you ever come across a person who says that Jesus never claimed to be God, this is one of the dozens of places in the New Testament that you could take that person to. Because Jesus is speaking the word. He's sowing the seed. He's telling his disciples to be careful to hear. And then his mother and brothers come up and they say, they're here to see you. And Jesus responds, my family are these who hear the word of God and do it. What's the word of God? What he's been saying. Now, let me show you a few things about this parable in the 7 or 8 minutes that we have left. Jesus tells a parable about how unnatural it is to hide a lit candle. It's a little bit like having a lunar rover on the moon that won't move. It's unnatural to have a candle that is lit and hide it. And I think you get the picture by now that you are the candle. The Spirit has lit your lamp. Now, when Jesus taught in his day, candles and lamps, they were the only light that people had. For example, the parable of the 10 virgins. You know the story. They're in a wedding party and they're out to meet the bridegroom. And so they go at night and they're carrying their lamp filled with oil. 10 of them have a lamp with oil, or all 10 are supposed to have lamps with oil. Only 5 of them have oil. The other 5 have the wick with no oil. And so when it takes a while for the bridegroom to come, the 5 virgins without oil turn to the other 5 and say, will you give us some of your oil? And the 5 with oil said, no, there's not enough for us and you both. You need to go and buy oil from those who sell it. And so they leave, and while they're gone, the bridegroom comes. And that parable is a beautiful picture of how those who follow Jesus should never be dependent upon the oil in another person. The best preachers are those who work themselves out of a job. So when he or she is gone, the people continue because their lamps have been lit. But the virgins only had lamps, candles. That's how you saw. In fact, do you know that for 99% of world history, candles and lamps were the only thing people had to light things? I don't particularly like musicals, but I loved Les Miserables, particularly Hugh Jackman. And I think one of the reasons I love this movie is because you could feel the passion in the singers. And I found out later that as they were acting, they were singing. There was no recording of the songs in the studio, whether they were in the ocean or in the prison, in the dungeon. They were singing from their heart. I love the movie. But even in the movie, Hugh Jackman, portraying a man who lived in Paris in 1820 and 1830, he's carrying candles. That's the only way they could see. Electricity is a modern invention. So when Jesus says, when your candle is lit, how foolish is it to put it under a bed or under a basket? It's crazy. If your candle's lit, what do? You shove it into the darkness so that people can see the light. You are the candle. The Spirit is the oil. I have lit you up. Now go shine. In the New Testament, you have often many parables of women who would take their lit candles and they would shine them into the dark recesses of the house to sweep out the manna in fulfillment of one of the ancient festivals. Candles were how people in Jesus' day saw. Your translation may use the word lamp, it may use the word candle. It's the same thing. So here's the point Jesus is making. Nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light, because He has given you the truth, and He has commanded you to shine. Jesus intends for all of us to intentionally shine His light in this world. Not just the disciples. You know, when I was a trustee for the International Mission Board, this is kind of embarrassing, but, you know, we're Southern Baptists. We support the IMB. There were some men who were in leadership who believed that only the disciples of Jesus Christ had authority in the kingdom. And basically, these men, they're called landmarkers. And there's a lot of landmarkers in Baptist circles. They basically say that the disciples were baptized by John the Baptist. And so what you've got to make sure of is that you're in a church and are baptized at the hands of a man, at the hands of a man, at the hands of a man, at the hands of a man who was baptized by John the Baptist. It's successionism. Absolutely absurd. But we had a missionary in China, a female, who was leading people to Christ by the dozens. And there were no men who were following Christ in her little village. And so she baptized these people who came to faith in Christ. And I was in a closed-door meeting with other trustees who were wanting to discipline the missionary for baptizing the converts. And I asked the question, why? And they said, well, because she doesn't have the authority to baptize. I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, because Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and only the disciples and those baptized at the hands of the disciples have the authority to baptize. I said, are you kidding me? So you're saying the only people who have the authority to shine their light and share the gospel are professional preachers? Well, they were kind of silent on that. Didn't say anything, because they want people to share the gospel. But it's this mysterious authority that they keep tracing back to the disciples. And so I finally ask the question, who's going to baptize these people that she's led to the Lord? And this is what they said. We're going to pay for a Southern Baptist preacher to fly to China to baptize those who came to faith in Christ. I forget what I said at that time, but it probably wasn't very smart. Folks, listen to me. When Jesus spoke to His disciples, He's speaking to men and women, preachers and laymen, because in the kingdom of God, He who has the authority is He who serves all. She who has the authority is she who is the servant of all. And if your light is shining at work, if your light is shining as you drive your truck, if your light is shining as you take your kids to school, if your light is shining as you teach kids, if your light is shining, the authority of your Savior abides upon you, for He lit your candle. And He said, go and shine. This text is for all of us. So, here's the thing. If your light is not shining, maybe you're not listening. This is what Jesus is saying. Disciples, you who have chosen to follow me, you who have the Spirit, you who see the light, you who have the seed planted within you, listen very carefully to me. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. Listen to me and do what I say. And then, as He's speaking, his mother and brothers come up and they interrupt him and they say, "Your mothers and your brother, your mother and your brothers are here." By the way, for those of you who don't know, Mary and Joseph had other children after the virgin birth of the Son of God. And so they were the ones who were walking up to speak to Jesus. And Jesus says, "No, those who've been adopted by me, those who are my family, are those who hear what I say and do it." And then he goes on, and boy, this is pretty strong. He says, "If you listen to God's word and you don't do it, you may only seem to be a follower of Jesus." And then he gives a warning. That if you don't do what I say, what you think you know will be taken from you. This is why following Jesus is called the way in the New Testament. It's following in his steps. It's like the man who was in the early service whose wife filed for divorce this week, who said very hateful and cruel things about him. And when I saw him after the service, he said, "Did you know what happened to me this week?" I said, "No. No." Because in that early service, I used the example that Jesus said, "Love those who persecute you. Love your enemies." And for that person who says, "Well, my wife has done something that I just frankly can't forgive," I ask you the question, how has Jesus loved you? Only when you can show me the nail hole in your hands and the blood on your forehead and the spear in your side do you have an argument that you've exceeded the love of Christ. Jesus said, "Love those who persecute you." Sometimes it is the most unlovely who need your light the most. Sure, I get it. It's painful. Sure, I understand it hurts. But let me tell you something. Jesus lit your fire. And he's asking you to walk into those dark places and shine. We are not to go into the dark places and be dark. We're to be different. We're to cast light. We're to show the truth. We're to shine. That's how Jesus created us. And when you listen to God's word and do it, you'll be given more and more and more. You say, "More and more and more of what?" Name it. Somebody's mean to you, and you turn the other cheek, as Jesus said, you'll get more wisdom tomorrow. Somebody slanders your name, and you are quiet as Jesus was quiet, you'll get more love tonight in your heart. You see, the principle is, when Jesus lights your fire and the Spirit burns within you and you do what he says, you shine your light. Darkness is expelled and more light comes. So the whole principle of this parable is, Jesus owns his own as those who hear him and do what he says. Let your light shine this week so that people can have the darkness that is encapsulating them expelled from around them. Let's pray.